So we're going to go to the teaching today, directly to the teaching. And of course, thank you so very much. We do have children's church. All of our ministries on the other side is open for all ages, unless you're over 13. You're over 13, thank you very much. All right. Now, what we want to do today is we want to go to our subject today and start right there. Let's go to the book of Galatians. For the book of Galatians, if you don't have a Bible, you can look on the screen. We do have the word on the screen. Galatians chapter number 2 and verse number 20. We're going to start verse 19. Verse 19, 20, and 21. Galatians chapter 2. How did you like what you saw today with our choir? Can you give them a big hand? Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I didn't know what I was looking at. I looked at my television going like, amen. Thank God for the ministry of the Door of Faith Christian Church Music Department. We thank God for that because we know we are ministering to the Lord. And I'm telling you, he is enjoying himself. All right. Now, let's read this. Galatians chapter number 2. We want to read verse number 19, 20, 21. Are you there? Thank you very much. Verse 19, read it again. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I may live under God. Now, God just told you how you're going to live under him. You had to be dead. If you're not dead to that, you can't live to that. That's what he's trying to show you, okay? You got to be dead before you can live. If you don't die to nothing, God can't live his life through you, okay? You got to die to yourself. And then verse number 19 again. Let's read it again. For I, through the law, am dead to the law that I might live under God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. All right? Now, that word, if righteousness, is the same word, if life. If life came by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Because you know why Christ came. John chapter 10 and verse 10 told us, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, you know in this ministry, we teach you that he came to give us eternal life. He came to make sure we had spiritual life and that we might have eternal life. Because you can't get eternal life without spiritual life. First, God gave you the first life you got, and that was the book of Genesis chapter 2. Let's show you that. He gave you life. Genesis chapter 2. You have to understand and thank God that the life you have is he gave it to us. In verse number 7, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. If you don't have a Bible, you can look on the screen. First, he gave us the breath of life. That life you have now is called the breath of life. That means you're able to breathe life. You're able to breathe. That means if somebody got drowned and hoped that never happened to you, but they were able to get the breath of life back. Somebody knew how to do what? CPR and gave them life back. All right, that was called the breath of life. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 is what we're waiting on, the first book of the Bible. Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils, there it is, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So I call this soul life. You want to put it in your Bible, soul life. That's the life that your soul has now. Then we want to go to Leviticus. But he didn't just give you soul life. Let's go to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter number 17. The book of Leviticus, and we're going to look at somewhere around verse 10 or verse 11 from the book of Leviticus. This book was named after Levi, the priesthood, Levi. They called their name Leviticus. All right. If I can just find Levi, Leviticus. All right, here we go. From the 17th chapter, we're going to look at verse 11. Thank you. Verse 11. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. That's blood life. That's your second life. The life of the flesh is in the blood. I have given it to you up on the altar to make an atonement for your souls. So that's why Christ died on the cross, to make an atonement for your soul. Why Christ died on the cross? To make atonement for your soul. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. So when Christ saved your soul, he died on the cross to save your soul. That's why we put the cross up here. He died on the cross to save your soul. So when you hear somebody say, oh, you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised Jesus from the dead, your soul will be saved. No. You can't get your soul saved. He died on the cross to save your soul. All right? And then in the new covenant right now, you are saved. You were saved once 2,000 years ago. You can't be saved no more. You now have to receive salvation. You in grace. Grace is not work. Grace is rest. In grace, you can only receive. What did I tell you you do in the Old Testament? It's two words. Grace provides. And you know the other half? I hear somebody saying something, I don't know what you're saying. Old Testament demands. New Testament provide. You should write that down. You should know if you in grace, you're not trying to get nobody to do nothing. That's work. Demand is work. See, that's why in grace, you just receive. Why? Because grace provide. That's why the new covenant said, but my God shall what? Supply. You get supply in the new covenant. You get demand in the old covenant. That's why old covenant told you what you had to do. New covenant tell you what God did. See, so when you hear somebody say, well, you need to do this. You need to be repent, be baptized. You still know old covenant. You need to take the bread off the table. You still know old covenant. Anything you need to do, why? Because Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, we're going to go there in a minute. You're going to see why you don't do nothing no more. All right. Now it's atonement, blood to make atonement for the soul. Verse 14, while you're there in Leviticus chapter 17. Then we go back to Galatians chapter number 2, verse 20. Leviticus 17 and 14 says, it is the life of the flesh. So the blood is what? Life of the flesh. The life of the flesh. The blood is the life of the flesh. So that's why when you eat your food, you don't eat blood. Okay? All right. For it's the life of the flesh. The blood is the life of the flesh. All right. So that's why God gave you life, blood life. All right, so that means God keeps you alive with the blood that running warm in your vein. Plus, he gave you air to breathe. That's life. Both of those are life. Okay, flesh life, which is blood life, and then breathing life. But there's another life that God came to give you, because let's show you that in John chapter 10. In the Gospel of John chapter 10 and verse 10. So we're going to see what life he came to give us after this. He had to die to give it to us. We're going to see that. So we're going to see John chapter 10 and verse 10 when you get on the screen. The Gospel of John chapter 10 and verse number 10. This is the other life that God gave you to have. The Gospel of St. John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10 and verse 10. Let's read it. For the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might what? That you might have life. And that you might have it? More abundantly. All right, so he came that you might have life. Well, you already had blood life. You already had. The first life is? Breath of life. You already had that. Then you had Leviticus with blood life. So he could not be coming for you to have that, was it? So you had to come that you might have life. That's spiritual life. So now let's go look at this, because this is the life he came for you to have. But let's go to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 first. I give you my subject. So you got to understand, he came that you might have life. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, one more time. I just want you to get this so I can give you my subject. It says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, but yet not I. Christ liveth in me. And the life. See, and then the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. All right, he gave himself for me that I might have life. Where? Let's show you what life that he gave you. So we're talking about Christ lives in me. Say it with me, Christ lives in me. All right, now this is the New Testament that you hear. You don't get this from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You don't get it from the book of Acts. You have to get it from the new covenant, from the Holy Spirit. Anything anybody else teaches you did not come from the Holy Spirit to you. There are 6-7 books in the Bible that God ministered to you. First, he gave 7 books of the Bible that he gave to Israel, the church of God, the Jews. And that was, and the first book was the Galatians. Then he gave them 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. Then he gave them the book of Hebrews and the book of Romans. Those 7 books were written to the Jews. Once he got locked up in prison, his ministry, if you read Acts chapter 20, he said, I must go to the Gentiles. So he ministered to the Gentiles. The number one book he gave you was Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Those 7 books was written to the Gentiles. Okay? That's why your pastor ministers so much out of those books, because they are written to us. All right? Out of this book of Galatians, he shared that with them in Galatians. Thessalonians was his first writing, but he shared this book of Galatians with them, and it was like he was ahead of his time. And so that's why he said in chapter 2, verse 20, we are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, but yet not I, but it's Christ now that lives in me. So you got to know where Christ is today. Most people, if you ever learn what Christ said, it's going to change your whole life of prayer. Because most people pray looking up in the air because they don't know where Christ is. See, it's going to change your whole thing. If you learn that Christ lives in you, you got to develop a communication with him. The ultimate of what God wants you to do is to, number one, be a son and learn how to walk in love. Those are the ultimates, okay? So you got to understand that. That is the ultimate. But you can't love me until you get God's love in you. God is love. And once you get God in you, Christ lives his life out of you, live his life through you, through love. You see? So when you say you got God in you, Christ in you, why you can't love? That's what you got to understand. Or why can't you let God love me through you? That's what you have to do. All right, because it's not you that live no more. I gave you these. These are in the storehouse. These tapes are in the storehouse. This is on your podcast, free. All you got to do is go to the Door of Faith Christian Church website. How many know what it is? MyDoorOfFaith.org. Okay, MyDoorOfFaith.org. All right, you'll get this tape. I was crucified with Christ. That's tape 134 and 5. Now, we started this series teaching you number one. Open the eyes of the blind. Okay, so I'm not off course. In verse 134 and 5, I was crucified with Christ. 136 and 37, we were created in Christ. Most people don't even know that you were created in Christ. Most people don't know because they do not go to a church that teaches them the Bible. Here, we teach you the Bible. We do not preach sermons. Okay? We don't teach sermons. We preach you the Bible. All right? Here, 138, verse 139, number 138, 139, we taught we were saved by the cross. That's why we got the cross there. Nobody can save you. You were saved. So you got to come to a place to realize, oh, I was saved already? Yeah. So we're not trying to get you saved. We're trying to get you to receive God's grace. God's grace is Christ. Christ is called the grace of God. We're trying to get you to receive the grace of God. That's a person, okay? Once you receive Christ in you, he will come in you and live in you and give you his nature. And his nature began to live out through you in his love, all right? You'll notice that you don't have to get the Holy Spirit here. You don't have to tarry all this Old Testament. Once Christ comes inside of you, the Holy Spirit is in Christ. Christ is the of the Godhead bodily, the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So the Father's in the Son, and the Holy Ghost is in the Son. So the Father and the Son all is in one, because they're one. And guess what? They are connected to you in the new covenant as a newborn again believer. Just like it was with your biblical cord, the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 6:17 say that you are joined together. Put it on the screen. 1 Corinthians 6:17. The Holy Spirit, the Father comes inside of us and joins the Father and the Son back to us again. Remember, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father
but by me. He's talking about you cannot be joined back to the Father, but by me. So when he came in your heart, he joined you back to God. Now Christ lives inside of you. And guess what? Everything he is inside of you. So when you read 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, I'm still waiting on the screen, so whenever you find that, then I just read it. All right. 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 Corinthians 6:17. All right. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he that's joined to the Lord, see, that's a marriage term. That's what happened when you got married. You was joined. What God joined together. Now, God did not join together only flesh. So when you get married, only your flesh will join together. All right? You will not join together in your spirit. That happened in Christ. This is what you got to understand. When you're going to marry somebody, make sure they are joined to the Lord. All right? Then you understand the next thing has to happen is, in the Word, your soul now have to become one with us. You already one with the Father. You one with the Son, one with the Spirit. You did that right here, 1 Corinthians 6:17. But if we all believe the same thing, so we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 1:10, show you how we're joined together in the church. So when you go somewhere, you got to know what are you joining yourself to. Because we are become one body. In here, we are one body in Christ. You're not joining a church here. We don't have church membership. If you want to be a part of the body of Christ, number one. If you may say, well, Pastor, I want to be a member of the church. Well, just keep coming. See, that's how you become a part of the body of Christ. First, you got to become a part of the body of Christ. You are joined by the Word. The Spirit joins us together. We all have to want the same thing. That's how you join to somewhere. All right? All right. 1 Corinthians 6:17, I gave you that already. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. So now you are what? One spirit. Say, I am?
I am.
One spirit. All right. Once you're joined, you'll become one spirit. Now look at 1 Corinthians while you're there. And look at verse number 10. 1 Corinthians 1:10. See, this is your commitment to God. When you come in here to get the Word, it's your love to God. When you get up in the morning and you come through what you're going to do and come in here and get the Word, you could easily say, you know what? I don't have to go to church, but your love for God is what brings you. Your love, his love in you and in him draw you here, bring you. And you know what? You know why? You know how you say that? Because if he came from glory, heaven itself, came inside of a flesh, came here and died on the cross for me, at least I can get up and get ready and go to church to hear his word. You're not coming for yourself. It's the Christ in you who you need to bring in here so this house can be filled with glory. If the unbeliever ever going to become a believer, he have to see the glory. Because that's the first thing Jesus did when he began to do miracles. Chapter 2 of John, they saw the glory of the Lord. What did they see? They saw his miracles. Unbeliever have to see miracles and signs and wonders. And that's what happened when we come together, they see the glory of the Lord. Everybody here for one purpose. 1 Corinthians 1:10, they're here for the word. All right, we have no gimmicks, no sales, just the word. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no what? See, if we all speak the same thing, there'll be no division among us. And then we will be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. The only way it's going to happen, we must be joined together with the word. We all must speak the same thing. We all got to believe the same thing. See, that's how we join together. So when people in a church, when they join together, everybody come together. There's some places that don't have Christ. And you watch them come together in places where they worship. It's like everybody move at the same time. Everybody bow the same. Why? They all join together and they don't even have the Spirit of Christ. Now, here you come and say you got the Spirit of Christ, but you won't be joined together with all the believers. See, that bothers me. Everybody do one thing, you do something different. See, something wrong with that picture. All right, but God's gonna show you, because I'm a praying man. Said, Pastor is a praying man. You got that right. I'm praying for you this morning at 4 o'clock to 4:35. I'm going like, oh my God, I got to get out of here. But I had to talk to the Lord about it. All right. So all your situation that you comes up, I take it to the Lord in prayer. I don't have to go far. We both live in the same house. Hallelujah. That's why God said, while you was yet speaking, I heard what you said. That's why he's right in the same house. Say, Christ lives in me. All right. Now, I want to show you some powerful truths right now. I gave it this morning. Got to get this morning. I'm going to get to the seed. I gave you Galatians 3:16, Christ is the seed. I showed you Galatians 4:19, the seed got to be formed in you. Christ got to be formed in you. He started out with a seed. Everything you need is in the seed. That's why you are complete in Christ. We're going to go to that right now, and that's Colossians 2:10. You are complete in Christ. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. If you get too much word, if you go to a ministry and don't get a lot of word, you come here, you're going to get an hour. Then you get halftime, 30 minutes, stand up and burp, and sit back down, get your other half hour. Keep coming. Look at somebody, said, just keep coming. All right, but you're going to be glad to get this hour word. I'm telling you, once you can receive the word. See, I know, because that's how I was when I went to church. Man, I went to the church after 15 minutes. I was looking at my watch. How long is that man going to preach? But that's how I was, because I couldn't take much word. But I can take some word now. Amen. Ask my wife. I talk her until she go to sleep. Want her, honey? She be like, she just wave her hand. I give. praise the Lord. Yes, sir, brother. This is what I do. All right. Now, where are we at going? Colossians what? Colossians chapter 2. Now, you gotta understand this. When somebody say you got to be water baptized to be saved. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 15, verse 1, they told them, unless you be, we won't tell you. We'll take you there. We'll take it there next. Acts 15, verse 1. All right. I got to learn to do that. Sometime I got to slow down. All right. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. Now, let's start verse 6. Verse 6. Because I want to show you how Christ gets in you. And I want to show you a complete in Christ. If anybody tell you, well, have you been water baptized? Have you been circumcised? Have you repented yet? Did they tell you repent over there at Crump Church? See, all that stuff. You let them know, I'm complete in Christ. That means I'm going to show you what the word complete. Well, write it down. Now, I got this box here, and I forgot that box. Keep forgetting that box. Y'all got my box? Bring my box. The box here is because we are in this house right now. This is the last week you can do it. We're forgetting those things that are behind. Now, we might have another Sunday, because Resurrection Sunday, Passover, is not till the 14th. So we got another week. I don't go by what they said Easter is on my calendar. The Bible told me Easter is Resurrection Sunday, it's Passover, and it's on the 14th. I'm going to show it to you in your Bible, in the book of Leviticus chapter 23. Don't let me forget to go there. Passover is the 14th of April. It's not the 5th Sunday in March, because next year it'll be something else. That's why I don't go by man days. Okay. All right. I got my own calendar in the Bible. All right. All right. Now watch what happened here. We in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Waiting on the screen. Watch this. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Read. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. What do you need to do to him? Right. You don't have to go do all this other stuff. Just receive. The work has been done. That's Acts 26 and verse 18 and 19. The first thing I read to you was, you got to receive. You receive forgiveness of sin. You receive Christ. He died for your sin. You receive your inheritance. You just receive it. You do that by believing. You don't have to do no work. That's Old Testament. So when somebody tell you, you got to repent, be baptized, you ain't spoken tongue, you ain't got the Holy Ghost, all that stuff, you in the Old Covenant. Wear yourself out. I'm telling you, you wear yourself out. In the new covenant, it's rest. The work was done. The work had already been done. When Jesus got on the cross, he said, no more work. How do I know it? It is finished. He had done the work for you to be saved. Somebody give him praise in this house. Now let's read verse 7. We in Colossians 2:7. Now watch what he says. If you receive the Christ Jesus the Lord, the next thing you're supposed to do is walk in him. Now that's living your life. The word walk means how to live your life. Live your life in him. Root it. Built. Now he's talking to you because he's looking at you as Christ in you is the seed. Come on. A seed has to be what? Rooted, built up in him, established in the faith as you have been taught. See, when you get taught the word, you're getting established. You're getting rooted and grounded in the word. That's what the word is doing. All right. Then he said, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. That's where you thank in him, because all blessings come from the Father. You always thank in him. He's the one who gives all. He's the giver. The Son in you is the doer. The Holy Ghost in you is the knower. All you know comes from the Holy Ghost. All right. All the works that have been done come from the Son. All right. Here in verse 7 says, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therewith with thanksgiving. Then he's going to give you a warning. Beware lest any man spoil you. Now, when you hear the word spoil you, what do you think of? You think of Adam and Eve. The word beguile. We're going to go back there. 1 Corinthians 11:1. We go back there after this. Because that's what the serpent did with Eve. He beguiled her. How did he beguile her? He gave her the wrong information. See, the wrong information means she ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The wrong information. But if she had eaten of the tree of life, guess what? She would have lived forever. But she didn't. She died. And she died spiritually first, and then she died physically. So Jesus had to come and die on the cross to death. He had to die spiritually. My Father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was separated from the Father. Spiritual death is separation from God. Then he had to die physically. Into thy hand I commend my spirit. And he gave up the ghost. So he had to die to death, but he had to do it for us so we can have spiritual life. And you don't have a natural death to see, because when your natural death ends, eternity begins. Let me say it again, because some of y'all don't get it. Y'all think y'all gonna be around to see it. You're not gonna see natural death. When you die naturally, you are taken from the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with, and spontaneously. It's spontaneously. That means when you close your eyes there, it's like, oh, Jesus. Just that. What's all that like? Where everybody going? To be absent from this natural body is to be present with the Lord. Somebody ought to get praise up in here. So you do not see death. Amen. Spiritual death or natural. Neither one. So always understand that. The more you understand, the less you're afraid. Yes. See, a lot of folks are afraid of death. Man, you already got your plot and your bet, already got everything done. Picked out my own tomb. Picked out my own grave. Picked out. You scared of that? You scared to die? You're gonna die. What happens to so many people is they die, they leave you the bill. Let me leave that alone. See, that's why you can't be afraid. You got to go take care of business. All right, you got some money, get yourself some insurance. Most people don't ever think about that. Then they leave somebody else with the bill. Let somebody else bury me. What a brother for you. All right. All right, let's move on. That's not my subject. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware. That's where we're at. So Paul said, you got to beware. Beware what? Lest any man spoil you. Through, he just like they did Eve. The enemy beguiled her. She ate the wrong tree. She went to the wrong church. She had the wrong pastor. She believed the wrong doctrine. Like I told you this morning, if your doctrine did not come from the Bible, Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, the gospel of Christ, I told you, you are what? What did I tell you? I gave you a word. You are believing a theory. See, don't just say theories. You are believing a theory. You are believing a theory. To believe a theory, I'm going to deal with that later. I'm going to show you what it means. To believe a theory, it means it's not really true. It's a theory. Y'all just went through that in this country and still don't know what a theory is. It's amazing that people in this country watch television and don't even understand why people in this country was trying to get you to believe a theory for 4 years. Well, let me move on. Then there's principle. Principle means it's knowledge. It's in the Bible. God gave it to you to be saved. Everything else is principle. Everything else is theory, I'm sorry. See, if it's not fact, based on fact, it's not principle. Theories are not fact. That means you can get in court and somebody can ask you a question and say, well, I just told somebody told me that. I'm going by what they said. Right? Just happened, D. Just happened. But people don't know what happened. See, there are some people, they base their lives on theory. If you go into a church that do not preach you the gospel of Christ, death, burial, and resurrection for your salvation, you are believing a theory that a man started that church based on a theory. You don't have to believe me. You got to Google on your phone. Not in here. But when you get a chance, Google, who started my church? Name your church and say who started it. You name your denomination, tell you who started it. Started by a man who didn't want to go to church with another man. So I started my own church. Now he got folks going to his church now. And not him, but his children and on down. That's how churches start. So my job is to help you. I've been in ministry 45 years. I serve as an assistant pastor. And the church that I came out of another church. You go back and ask these churches how they start. Oh, we started over there, and we started over there. We used to be over there with them, and we split. And now we over here. See, but you got to understand, it's okay to do that as long as everybody preach the same thing. But see, that's the only way you can save in the Bible is by Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But that's not what you are hearing. Right across the street, right there, they set their speakers out on a Sunday. You might hear them one day. They set their speakers I'm telling you, and turn them toward us. How many know I'm not lying? And they'll tell you if you ain't got the Holy Ghost. Why? They are still at Pentecost. I'm not mad with them. But you can't remain at Pentecost. If you really have Pentecost, there are some people don't go to this church right now. Because they still want to believe in water baptism, be saved. There are people left this church because I didn't do communion at the table. See, that's not your salvation. Christ is your salvation. But see, if they go here, they're telling somebody else, I don't agree with you. I agree with Pastor. You ain't agreeing with me. It's the word. If you don't have Christ in your heart, you're going to die and go somewhere else you don't want to go. I can't say that no more. You're just going to go somewhere else that you didn't intend to go. All right. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 8. Stay on course, Reverend. Verse 8 said, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After tradition of men. And people don't even know what tradition is. I just got through telling you for the whole 15 minutes. That's tradition. If it's not preaching the gospel of Christ for your salvation, it's called tradition. It's religion. You know, I could tell you some things now, boy, it could just blow you away. Because you get married, you got to go kiss. Don't bother that. Okay. After tradition and rudiments of this world. not after Christ. Thank you for helping me. See, that's my help order. But see, that's religion, that's tradition. For in him dwelleth, here we go, my verse. We get into it. He said, don't follow tradition. Don't follow tradition of men. Because that's the rudiments of this world. They're not following Christ. The Bible told you they ain't following Christ. And yet, you know how you know they ain't following Christ? Because they're telling you how to be saved. Everyone will tell you how to be saved. Come over here, I'm going to show you how to be saved. They won't tell you already saved because you won't want their church. So they're trying to get you saved. Boy, I'm trying to get you saved. They got that, man, I'm still trying to get them saved. They got that little sneaker thing. Because I'm telling you, if you go into these churches, that's exactly how they say. That's how they sound. I mean, he's a good man, but I got to get him saved. See, they still got that I'm trying to get you saved stuff, boy. You got to be conformed to their religion denomination before they think you're saved. And if you don't do that, you ain't saved. And they'll tell you in a minute you ain't saved. I had one person came to church and said, I wasn't here last week, but bless God, I'm still saved. I just want the church. Hey, I didn't want the church to know I wasn't here last week, glory to God. I was out of town. But I want y'all to know, hey, I'm still saved. And I just stood there and go like, I hope so. You miss one Sunday, you ain't saved. Your God can't keep you 1 week. And then you got this crowd over here. Do you believe, Pastor? Do you believe in once saved? They got that face, boy. Do you believe in once saved, always saved? And I said, well, yeah. Are you telling me you could do anything you want and you still saved? I said, yeah. Because when God saved me, I was a sinner when he saved me. When Christ died, look, we got Bible on this stuff. We got Bible on this stuff. Put in your note, Romans 5 and 8. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did not die for me when I saved myself. It was impossible for me to save myself. So God had to save me. He came here in flesh, put on flesh, born of Mary. Raised up in Bethlehem, raised up in Judea, went to a cross and died on the cross, buried and raised himself from the dead again. You can't take my life. I lay it down and I take it up. 3 days and three nights, showed himself open in Acts chapter 1. And yet, people don't know they saved. They still trying to get saved. You will never, ever do enough to get saved. You read Hebrews chapter 10. The Bible said, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin, one, sat down and watched his enemies be his footstool. Because somewhere down the line, you're going to come back to him and say, you know what? You saved me 2,000 years ago. When you died on that cross, you saved me. And if you save me, I am saved. Now I need to find out how to go on. This church is for people who wants to go on. We already saved. We got to go on. That's why we said, now forget the things that are behind. You read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1. It told you all the things you got to forget. Put that in your notes. We're going to get them done. We're going to get some of it done anyway. He told you what to forget. Acts chapter 6. Hebrews 6 and 1, and one of them is baptisms. You got to move on. You can't teach baptism every Sunday, can you? All right, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, beware. Go back to, thank you. Beware lest any man spoil you of vain deceit after tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead body. Say, all the fullness.
All the fullness.
The Father,
the Son,
and the Holy Ghost
is one.
And lives in me.
Lives in me.
So you're not trying to get nothing. So when somebody tell you, have you received the Holy Ghost? Have you received the Holy Ghost yet? Because they ain't praying no tongue. There is tongues. Tongues is real. But most of the people you hear, they don't have no tongue. They got an automatic machine gun. You watch what I say. You know nothing about the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to tell you, you about to try to listen. I've been to some churches, boy, in 45 years. You got some folks will tell you in a minute, come on here. You don't know whether to run or what. The Holy Ghost don't scare you. The Spirit of the Lord flows out of you. The Spirit of the Lord flows. You don't make this happen. There have been times I was ministering and I couldn't stop. The anointing came upon me and I started praying the Spirit. I had no control of it. This ain't something you do. All right. Now in verse number 10 is where I've been trying to get to, okay? Out of all this time. Are you there? And you, come on, and me, I am complete in Christ. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost lives in me. I am complete in Christ. He's the head of all principalities and power. See, I hear people say, I just can't do that. No, you got to change that. Because Christ lives in you now. So you can't say, that's why Paul said in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. You have to change you got to reckon this. You got to be able to say it. Why? Because Christ lives in you now. And the Bible says Christ in you is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:24, Christ is the power of God. Then you can't say, I don't know no more. Because the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ is in me, is the wisdom of God. So you can't, you got to change your mindset. See, the old man, we're going to get to him. We're going to talk about a whole lot of things. We're going to deal with the seed. We're going to deal with showing a whole lot of stuff. We got a whole lot of stuff for you. We're going to let this man, we get through, you're going to let that man be in you. You're going to submit yourself and let that mind be in you. And then you're going to come to a place that you're going to stop putting down persecution. You're going to come to a place in this house where you're going to stop speaking against suffering. Because Christ suffered. And there's a reason why he suffered. You cannot enter into glory without suffering. Suffering reveals the glory. I'm trying to help you. You got to come to a place. You don't know what God's doing in you. You're going to. Some of y'all speaking against loneliness. That's why we haven't sang no more about alone no more. Because being alone is a blessing. I'm going to show you so much. I'm going to show you so much. Because everything you're going through is the Holy. When Christ lives here, he's going to take you through some heartbreaks. Because he's trying to get somebody in you to be revealed. And the only reason that God can't have the sun to rise in your heart is because you don't have too much darkness. Too much flesh. And once he takes you through what he got to bring you through, then you gonna move on out the way. Because you can't go through the storms. You can't go through the rain. All that stuff is to reveal the seed. The storm, the rain, the weather. You can't get what's in the seed unless there's a storm. There's the weather, there's rain, there's cold. Everything is coming to reveal what's in the seed. That's in the seed that's been planted in the ground. God going to get some glory out of you. Paul said in the Bible, told us in Ephesians chapter 5:18. Let me give you that one. Let me finish here first. We go that first. Put that down, Ephesians. Oh, my God. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Put that there. We go there next. right after this, verse 10. Verse 10 say, you are complete. Colossians 2:10. I know I'm taking you through some on the screen. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. And you're complete. Say it, I'm complete. In Christ. All right, I'm complete. What it means to say I'm complete? The word complete means I have all the necessary parts. You complete. You got all the necessary parts. Just like when you was born physically. Guess what? You have all the necessary parts. And the necessary part is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You are complete in Christ. That means you have nothing lacking. You have nothing missing. You have nothing broken. You got everything God had. Like I told you before, when God saved you, he did like they did the coach at the football game. He took the whole pitcher, the whole big barrel with the Kool-Aid in it and the ice in it and everything in it. And it was still full because nobody drinking it. They took everything and he found you. The day you believed in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, he dumped everything he got on your life. You have nothing. You are complete in Christ. You got everything the Father has. You just got to learn. You have to have the knowledge for the Holy Spirit to operate in your life. So when you sit at home, watch all my children, another world, they, another, all them folk dead. You got reruns of reruns. Let's move on. Don't write me no letter. I don't want it. All right. All right, where are we going first, I guess it's Romans. Let's go to Romans 8:18. God is changing my message as I talk to you. I got 8 minutes. Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18. Watch what Paul says. So you got to understand what God's doing. The persecution that you're going through, God is revealing the glory in your life. There are some things you was not even expected. They came suddenly. All of a sudden, you realize I'm under persecution. I'm going through afflictions. I'm going through a storm. Everything that I had has begun to leave me. What is God doing? God is taking you through a storm. He's taking you to a place called glory. Because the stuff that you got, you got to count it all down. But what God has for you is greater than what's behind you. You got to forget the things that are behind. You're going to become a Lot. You just like Lot. You just like Lot. Here you are, the big man in Sodom and Gomorrah. You got everything. Then all of a sudden God says, okay, we're going to send some people over there to Sodom because I got to get Lot out of here. He thinks he wealthy in Sodom. Sodom is the world. That's why God said, love not the world, amen, nor the things that are in the world, because any man love the world, the love of the Father, not in him. And then you come to a place to tell God, do you love that? That's what he asked. That's what he asked Peter when he rose from the dead. Lovest thou me more than these? So you go, get ready to go through something. When God began to ask you, lovest thou me more than these? He's talking about the thing that you like and holding on to in your life. See, God come inside of you, but he want to know, God, do you love me? Yes. I love you so much until I gave myself on that cross. But do you love me more than these? And you're going to look around at all the things that you own and hold and deal in your life. You love me more than that? Is my word more to you than these? Every week you have a chance to say, Lord, I'm getting up out of my bed and I'm going to go down to Door of Faith Christian Church and I'm going to get that word. You know why? Because I love you more than anything. When a man walk up to you and ask you, you want to work today? Man, I just worked 7 days. Okay, I go and work this week, but next week I got to go to church, man. You got to tell them, you got to tell them, I got a life. If not, you're going to have to make some time. Not you make time for yourself, you can make time for him. I'm going to tell you something. I worked General Motors 30 years to retire. Money ain't everything. I was skilled trade too. I like the money. But I had to tell the man, I said, today is Sunday. So don't ask me about no overtime because I got to go to church. Now, I didn't realize what I really wanted. I had to be with my Lord. And you got to make time. If you can't do it on your job, while you got them days off sitting around on doing this here on your put that stupid thing up and spend some time with the Lord. That is a childish thing. That's a childish thing. When you do stuff like that and let things dominate your life that ain't even real, that's childish. You have not grown up. That's 1 Corinthians 13:11. When I was a child. Write that down. You can't do stuff like that unless you have a child spirit. You got to grow up. Don't play with stuff all day that don't make no sense. You put things on your head and walk around with in the future. Grow up. That ain't real. Children are real. Babies are real. Mom and daddy, that's real. Spend some time with them. Romans chapter 8, that's where I am, right? Verse number 18. Paul said, I reckon. I like that. So you got to reckon this name, boy. Paul said, I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory. What glory? The glory that's going to be revealed in us. Well, what glory is revealed in you? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's Colossians 1:27. See, God wants to reveal his son in you. That's what you're going through. The stuff you've been going through, God is revealing his son in you. You've been saying, oh, God, I want God to reveal his son in me. God's okay. Okay, Job, you wanted me to reveal your son? You want to receive the son? You really want to see the son? Put your hands on what he got. Let's see, is he going to love you? That's what that's about. He touched everything Job had because he wanted to know that Job really loved him. And then he came to the woman and said, won't you just curse God and die? He said, you sound like a foolish woman. See, he want to know you love him. After you go through the storm, after you go through the rain, after you go through all the hell you went through, do you still love me? You must understand that everything that Job lost, he got that back. I say everything he lost, he got that back. But God took that stuff out of his life just to know one thing. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? That's all he want to know. So if he touched your stuff, can you still love him? Suffering. Reveal the glory. Look at the Apostle Paul. He went through hell. That's why he wrote you. He wrote you 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at it. See, here he says, Romans chapter 8, verse 18 says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. God revealing his son in you. So as you're going through the suffering, he's revealing his son in you. 1 Peter 3:13. I'm just going to do two here. I never finish. I just go to our stop. 1 Peter 3:13. See, Peter saw this thing. Peter, you love me. More than they all. Look at 2 Peter. I got 1 Peter down there. 2 Peter 3:13. I think I said the wrong one. My God, my God. I got the wrong verse. I got something else. I don't need that. Thank you. Thank you. Let's do this. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 10. Give me what I got out of here, first of all. Let me do that. What? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, let's go there. I got 1 Corinthians 11. A whole lot of stuff. See, all I don't get, that's your homework. 2 Corinthians, I got 2 Corinthians. I did 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning, didn't I? Okay, so I don't have to do it again today. 2 Corinthians 12, let's close out there. And verse 1, 2 Corinthians 12 and 1. Now, watch the Apostle Paul. He went through hell. Why? Because God revealed his son in him. See, you're gonna go through travail is to reveal God's son. Travail is persecution and trials and affliction. It's the stuff that you're going through. It's when God touches things that you have and once had. He want to know, do you love him? Because all that's coming back. See, I got Job for a witness. Job got back twice what he had before. But the whole thing was, do you love me more than these? So if you lose everything you have, and you have nothing but Jesus, that's where you can sing that song, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Whole lot of folks are saying, give me Jesus. They got their hand on everything they got them, give me Jesus. If God can reveal his son in you, say Christ lives,
Christ lives
in me.
In
all right, see, I only got half. Next week I'll give you the other half for that. All right, so 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Read. It is expedient for me, Paul said, doubtless the glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, because I had been stoned to death. I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one was caught up to the third heaven. I was dead. God raised me from the dead. And then he says, and I knew a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up to the third heaven. And I heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Such a one would I glory, yet of myself I would not glory. But in mine infirmities, I'm going to glory in my infirmities, in my weaknesses, in the things that I'm going through. I'm going to glory. What? What kind of man is this? He says here in verse 6, for though I would desire the glory, I should not be a fool, for I would say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. I'm really no fool. I know why I'm glory in tribulation. I'm glorying in trials and persecution and affliction. I'm glorying in what I'm going through. Why? Because I know what God is doing in me. And verse number 7 says, unless I shall be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, all this stuff I'm going through, here I got two demonic spirits following me around. A thorn in the flesh. The messengers of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And then the Bible said, and this thing I besought the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. This stuff I'm going through in my body, this stuff I'm going through in my life, I don't know why. Sometimes I get up, I'm just fine. Sometimes I get up, I find myself walking. I don't know what the world going on with me. Why am I going through this? I'm always in the church. I'm always serving you, Lord. I love everything. And yet I'm suffering. I'm your boy. I'm your boy. I'm suffering. You know I'm always going to be there for you. I give anything to anybody. I do anything for anybody. Why am I suffering, Lord? Why am I suffering? Why am I going through this mess? You told me to go to the Gentiles. Why am I going to suffer? Here it is. In verse number, Paul said, I sought the Lord 3 times, but he would not answer my prayer. He wouldn't take it away. He wouldn't remove what I was going through. Why? He said here, my grace. See, you need to put the word Christ with the word grace. You don't know who in you. See, it's not you that live. That's why God got you out of the way first. God got you out the way first. It's not you that live, but Christ. It's not really you going through, it's Christ. God wants to see his son. And the only way he can see his son, he got to get you out the way. He asked you in the beginning. He says, I want you to move so I can see my son. No, you don't want to move. God said, okay, persecution. Come in. Trials, tribulation, afflictions. Visit his life. And when he get through, guess what? You're going to get out the way. And you're going to say, Father, I'm out the way. I humble myself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. And God's going to exalt me now. But as you decrease, he's going to increase. Paul said, God said, my grace, the word grace is Christ. Christ is sufficient. Christ is sufficient. That's what he wants you to know. It's not you that live, it's Christ. Christ is sufficient for me. Then he said this, my strength is made perfect through weakness. God can only flow through you when you decrease, when you're weak to flesh. And God allows us to go through persecution and trials and affliction to weaken us in our flesh. Most gladly, Paul says, I would rather glory in my infirmities. I glory in what I'm going through. Paul, do you know as much hell you're going through? When you read chapter 10, you'll see all the hell he went through. Paul said, I'm going to glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When I'm going through the suffering and the glory, the Spirit of a living God is upon me to comfort me, because he's here as my comforter. And he comfort me in all my afflictions. So as I'm going through something, I get closer to him. He get closer to me. The lights burn brighter. I can see him better. I get my wisdom from him. I get my knowledge from him. I get my understanding from him. Yes, I got to go through some stuff. But God told me every day is going to get brighter and brighter. And somebody get on their feet. Give the Lord his glory. 1 Peter 4:14 on the screen. 1 Peter 4:14. Peter said the same thing. 1 Peter 4:14. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, if you lost everything you got because of your love for Christ, happy are you. You give him glory. You give him glory. You know you lost everything because you would not bend. You would not bow. You would not do that. You said the Lord is God and there's no other. I'm going to serve him regardless of what I have to go through. Verse 14 said, if you be reproached for the name of Christ Jesus, happy are you, because the Spirit of glory and the Spirit of God is resting upon you. That's why you're suffering. That's why you had to go through what you're going through. Once you have this Christ in you, he has to be revealed. It's just like any other seed. Any seed. I don't care what seed it is. Except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, going to bow it alone. But how is God going to get out of it what he wants? He drops it in the seed, which is your heart. He put the word. That's Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8. You're going to read this week. He put the word in the earth, your heart. And then he allowed the storms to come and the persecution to come for the word's sake. For the word, not for you, for the word's sake, to break your ground, to break your heart. And all of a sudden, through your brokenness, come forth his presence.